Brother Holmes, how's your son doing since surgery? Is
everything went well. It was more complicated.
Okay. Okay. I failed to mention that in the prayer request this morning, but pray for Brother Neil Holmes' son. I'm not sure how he did, but he broke his hand and his arm, as I understand it, and had surgery just a couple of days ago. Seems to be recovering well, but it was a more complex surgery than what was intended. We appreciate the Holmes. They've been visiting with us now, I don't know, maybe a month or so, something like that, out from Arizona. And Mrs. Holmes is a traveling nurse and doing some work helping out here in our area. And they've been able to be with us at our church here during this time. We're so thankful for them. John chapter number 15. We're going to read verses 4 through 10 this morning. Again, we're sort of preaching through a series of messages, a loose series, if I could say it that way, concerning our theme this year for our church entitled, What Is It, Church? All right, somebody said fruit. I desire fruit, all right? That is our theme this year. John chapter 15, beginning in verse number 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now you notice I didn't count the number of times that that word abide is used in these seven verses, but we want to really hone in and focus in on that word this morning, as we bring a message entitled, At Home with the Holy One. At Home with the Holy One. Now, Pastor Bush, not too long ago, preached a series of messages throughout the entire Gospel of John. And his focus was on portraits of Jesus Christ in each chapter. I am not intending to retread on anything he said, but I want to shift the focus just a little bit because obviously it comes into what our theme is for our church this year. And I want you to listen closely this morning. I trust that we're going to get some doctrine that may help straighten out some bad doctrine that is out there, but then also it will help us to be fruitful this year for the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Heavenly Father, we're thankful once again for your word. Thank you for letting us meet together around it. I pray that we would be stayed upon the Word of God, stayed upon Jehovah, and be on that firm foundation, and we might grow in you and be fruitful in you. Help us, Lord, as individual Christians, ultimately, that make up a church. Lord, that we would be all that we can be for you, so that ultimately we can be all we can be for one another and for others that do not know you. Help us this morning, please, and meet with us. And Lord, again, if there's somebody here lost, please help me get saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. The statement is, make yourself at home. Now, what exactly is meant by that statement? For instance, in the future, do I need to knock before coming in? Would I need to call ahead to see if it's a good time to come? May I take off my shoes and socks? Or leave on my shoes? You know, there are those that would say, if you're going to make yourself at home, then you need to keep your shoes on rather than taking them off, and vice versa. May I eat whatever I can find? May I freely roam about the house or the home as I desire? May I make myself more comfy in your more comfy clothes? May I sleep in any bed that I find inviting? May I have the remote control and watch on TV whatever I please? May I drive whatever vehicle is available? How about this one? May I sell whatever seems valuable in order to enrich myself? Most of these requests may seem quite preposterous, and we know they are. But each question speaks to the amount of intimacy and access to which the homeowner deems acceptable. Think about that. We sort of have an understanding, or we make many assumptions, because in our culture, there are cultural norms, and so we just assume what is making yourself at home and what would be crossing some lines. But ultimately, what I am saying is this: it is up to the homeowner to set those rules. Now, think about it from this perspective. Some scriptures, Psalm number 24 is a very famous psalm. I want you to listen to what it says. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He goes on to say that he's the one that's founded it and established it and created it. Then he says this in verse number 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And then it shifts, and it says in verse number 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So the beginning of the chapter is talking about us entering into his presence, and toward the end it talks about him entering in to our presence. But what I want us to notice about this passage is there is a homeowner or landowner or property owner, if we can call it that. Ezekiel chapter number 18, another passage that goes along with what we're talking about this morning, at home with the Holy One. People say, make yourself at home. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Do you know that God ultimately has a say about every human being that's ever been born into the world? And that God ultimately has the only say? And the reason he's the one that has the only say is because all the souls are his. Every single one. That's why we can't create our own rules or our own laws about who should die or who should not die based on our own understanding and reasoning. We need to go by his rules because he's the owner. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We read these verses and sort of just quickly go over them. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, notice verse number 15 if you're turning over there. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Now, this is strong language, but folks, wherever I allow my feet to go, whatever I allow my hands to do, whatever I allow my mind and my heart to dwell on in any other way that I could potentially use my body as a child of God, I am using it not as my body, but as His body. And shall I take His body, His members, and make them the members of an harlot? Strong language. Verse number 16, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He is the homeowner. He's the one that sets the rules for intimacy and for access. One other passage, Romans chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1, thinking about this intimacy and this access. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, peace, by whom also we have access. Notice these two things, peace and access. Intimacy and access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now notice this, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now we're talking about intimacy and access, and we're saying when somebody says, make yourself at home, how at home exactly do they intend for the one that they're talking to make themselves at home? Now think about the homeowner now, who is the Lord God, who is Jesus Christ, and think about Him saying, I invite you in. But how at home are we to be with Him? How does this process work? If we're not careful and conscientious, we can easily become, here it is, the house guest who has no intention of leaving. Now, I asked a whole lot of questions about how at home do you want me to make myself, but what about the house guest who says, I'm coming over, and they come, and they just decide they're just going to stay forever? The house guest that has no intention of leaving, in such a case, hear me this morning, in such a case, what other option does a responsible homeowner have but to enact the eviction process? Now, you better hear me this morning. Is God a responsible homeowner? And if so, just what are His guidelines concerning making ourselves at home before God says, you got to go? Now, He's a responsible homeowner, I can guarantee you that. First thing first, one who has refused to allow Christ to dwell in him, who has refused to receive Him and His sacrifice for their sin, has no part with Him. Now, I want to say this again, and I want you to really hear it, because I'm going to give you some scripture here in a moment, and I'm going to tell you what I believe John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 and 3 are talking about before he gets to verse number 4 and he begins to talk about abiding. And I think it's important that we understand this. One who has refused to allow Christ to dwell in him, who has refused to receive him and his sacrifice for their sin, has no part with him. Now, look at John chapter 13. You may be in John chapter 15. If you are, turn back to John chapter number 13. Jesus is conversing with his disciples, and this is where these statements, this message, this lesson is coming from. John chapter 13, verse number 4. He, Jesus, ariseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he's physically getting ready to wash their feet and wipe them off, physically. All right, verse number 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Peter says, and rightly so, Lord, you are much too important and much too great to do this task. And that is true, but Jesus is about to teach two lessons by this act. And I want you to understand, we focus very heavily on one of those lessons. The one of those lessons is we ought to serve one another and those types of things. And that's a beautiful and a wonderful lesson. It's absolutely true. But there's another lesson in this passage. I want you to notice it. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Verse number 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Well, that's interesting. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Hear these words. Is Jesus saying, if I don't take a physical towel with physical water and wash your feet, then you're unable to be clean? Can they not wash themselves? Could they not wash their own feet? There's something else that Jesus is talking about in this passage. He says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Well, now it gets serious for Simon Peter, and Peter, like the rest of us, would be like, okay, Lord, wash me. There's a deeper lesson here. Verse number 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet. Lord, wash me all. Jesus saith to him, now notice this, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Meaning this, when Jesus washes, he washes thoroughly. It's clear to me that Jesus has shifted. He's not simply talking about a water and a towel, physically speaking. He's talking about much more. You're clean every whit. Notice what he says, though, at the end of verse number 10, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. He is not talking about just physically. As a matter of fact, his emphasis in saying they weren't clean wasn't on their physical at all. It was on their spiritual. And he's saying there's somebody here that is not all clean. And what I'm saying to you is this. God is not going to allow us to remain in his house without being completely clean first. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 1. This is the text passage that we read, but we started in verse number 4. Keeping that thought in mind, I want you to notice what Jesus says, John chapter 15, verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the caretaker of the vine, of the plant, if you will. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, notice verse number 3. I believe with all my heart, John chapter 15, verse number 3 is connected to John chapter number 13, verses 9, 10, and 11 right in there. I believe Jesus is simply hearkening back to what he has already told them when he says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now, you can argue with me about this. It's not going to mess up any kind of doctrine, but here's what I believe Jesus is saying in John chapter number 15. Everyone that's ever been born has been born by, through Jesus Christ. Every human being that's ever been born into the world has been born by Jesus Christ. He is the creator. Look in Colossians chapter number 1, and you can see that. Turn to Revelation chapter 3 for a moment, if you will. Follow me, please, closely during this, and then we'll get into some things about how we can abide and be at home with the Holy One. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the," notice this, "beginning of the creation of God." There is no creation. There is no human being born into the world without Jesus Christ, because he is the creator. He is the creator. It is his. It belongs to him. Now notice what he says. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched," notice his description, "wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Now you can argue with me if you want. I do believe this Laodicean church is maybe reminiscent of an age in which the church would exist. And I really do believe this, that there are a whole lot of churches that have the symbolic issues that this church have. And when Jesus points it out, he paints a terrible picture, the worst. "You're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." I'll just say this, I believe there are a lot of churchgoers in 2021 all around the world who are simply do not have Jesus dwelling in them, let alone them being able to be more at home with the Holy One. And until Christ dwells in you, you will not be at home with the Holy One. You shouldn't expect it. This is the primary guideline that God says, if you're going to get close to me and you're going to be at home and you're just going to, you know, take my cars and everything I have is yours and you just go and come as you please, you better follow the primary guideline, which is you better have me in you before you decide you're going to get close to me. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment." What does Jesus do for those of us, all of us who are stained with sin? He gives us white raiment, "that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear." He clothed Adam and Eve there in the garden with the skins that were taken from an animal whose blood had to be shed. That's what Jesus did for us. He's the sacrifice for sin. "And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent." Now, in context, verse number 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. See this, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Now, I want to illustrate this in this way. I need to do it for our online folks. Best as possible. Imagine between me and you a wall and a door right here in the middle. Here's Jesus on the other side. He's the homeowner. He's behind the walls of his house. I'm giving you an illustration. And here's all of us on the outside of his house. Typically what we would do is we would think it from this standpoint. I'm inside. Jesus is on the outside and he's knocking on my heart's door. I don't know if that's a good illustration. I think the better illustration is Jesus is on the inside of his house. We're on the outside. Watch this. And Jesus is knocking from the inside out. From his own house. Saying, will you invite me in? And until we invite him in, we can't go into his house. Be that his abode, spiritually abiding with him, or to his house one day, eternally speaking. Do you understand that? All I'm saying to you is the primary guideline for one to enter into God's presence is first to invite God to be in him, to invite Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he's made for him on his behalf, to invite him in. Only then is one able to abide. And when we go over to John chapter 15, and we see what he said to his disciples, and we think about John chapter number 13. To me, it makes great sense. Verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That means he removes. He sends to another place. I'm not here to argue with you about this, but what I really believe Jesus is saying, based on John chapter number 13, every person that's ever been born is a branch in me, in that he's been created by me. But those that do not ultimately bear fruit, what does the husbandman, the caretaker, the father do? He removes them from the true vine. I believe that's what the book of Revelation is talking about when it says that their names were removed from the book of life. I believe there's a book God has. Every person's in that book based upon creation. I believe John chapter 3 bears this out. Everyone that's ever been born of water, but you better be born of the Spirit, the second birth. Otherwise, you'll be removed. God will evict you. What happens to every sinner who's unrepentant, hadn't been born again, refuses the sacrifice that Jesus made on their behalf? They are evicted eternally. That's exactly what happens. God is a responsible homeowner. For those who've allowed Christ to cleanse them, to wash them in his own blood, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, here's the admonition. Abide. Abide. Now, we need to preach the message in about 11 minutes. So let me give you three things in this passage. And we're talking about being fruitful. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning is, the more at home we are with the Holy One, the more fruitful we will be. The more at home we are with the Holy One, the more fruitful we will be. I want you to notice these three if statements that Jesus makes. Seems like he takes the first part of the chapter sort of focusing on believers, and then the last part of the chapter. And I understand there weren't chapter delineations at that time, but I'm saying for what we can see, okay? The last part of the chapter is focused on the world or the unbelievers. But there's three if statements that he makes here in John chapter 15, and I want you to notice these three things, and then we'll go home today. The first one we're going to call withering. Withering. Notice John chapter 15, verse number 4. Abide in me, I in you. Now this is interesting now what he is saying. He said just a moment ago, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But now he's making this direct statement about, and I in you. I'm in you. I'm abiding in you. By the way, he's always faithful to abide in us. Can I say this morning? If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you do not have to doubt his abiding in your life. He forever abides in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that the relationship is going to be as close. That's what we're really talking about this morning. But he's always going to keep his end of the bargain. And when he says, I give you eternal life, you don't have to doubt it one day, one hour, one moment. He's given you eternal life. He will never, what does he say? Cast you out. In no wise. What a blessing. Abide in me, I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Now there's a responsibility on our part. Jesus has done his part. I'm dwelling in you. I'm abiding in you. I'm faithful. Jesus is faithful to do his part. But now he's saying, you've got a part in this abiding process. It's not just on me. It's on you too, to abide. That is not to stay saved. Jesus has done his part. He's going to keep his word, folks. But the abiding process has to do with how close, how intimate, and how much access we have when we're in the Father's house. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Notice that. You're not gonna produce fruit unless you're abiding in the vine. I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It's a natural process. It naturally occurs. For without me ye can do nothing. Well, thank the Lord for that. We have him, so we can do everything. As a matter of fact, he tells us we can do more than even he did in his earthly ministry. How do we do that? How do we accomplish that? Based on abiding. For without me you can do nothing. Verse number 6. Here's our first if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, those branches that are withered, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Hear me this morning. I don't believe for a second, based on the groundwork and the foundation that we've laid through the scriptures, that this is talking about hell or everlasting fire. I do not believe Jesus is saying at all, based on the foundation of the Word of God, well, if you are not fruitful the way that you ought to be, then you're going to wither up and we're going to cast you into hell. He says, and men gather them, those withered branches. They're useless for nothing else than to throw in for kindling, for burning. And all I believe Jesus is trying to say to his disciples and to us is that when we're not abiding in the vine the way that we ought to do, what we begin to do, spiritually speaking, is we begin to wither or shrink. We wither or shrink. And at some point, there's really no use for us, spiritually speaking, than for kindling. You say, Pastor Taylor, do you believe that God has judged, saved people and has judged them to the extent that he took their physical life so that he could get glory from their life because there was no other way he would get glory because of the way they were living? I absolutely believe that to be the case. Totally believe that to be the case. But that person didn't lose their salvation because they had already received Jesus into their life. Jesus will abide. He's faithful to do that. But he's saying, I don't want you to be a withered branch, useless. We should not want to be useless Christians. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're a believer, there's something you can do today to be fruitful. You can be fruitful if you're a believer. Even if the only thing you can do, and we always say it like this, forgive us for saying it like this, that the only thing you can do is pray. I'm not saying that's all you should do if you can do otherwise, but friend, if all you can do, you're feeble and you get to a point in life where you just can't really do a whole lot physically, you can talk with the Father and you can bring supplication on the behalf of others and lost sinners and those that are wayward and for the pastor and for his church and for the world and for the country, and you can be fruitful in that work. I wish I had more time this morning. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 for a moment. Pastor Bush, we may be having to do a part two. Pastor Bush and I have talked about this a few times. I said, Pastor Bush, I really do want to get people out at a certain time. And he said, well, if you're preaching through a series of messages, you can just sort of cut it off and come back to it next time. We may have to do that today, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, and all the church said amen. I heard it silently, okay? Folks, if you get just the introduction in this first point today, you'll have plenty. I'll have plenty. There are those that they're not even they're not even invited to abide. I truly believe that's what John 15, 1 through 3, based on John chapter 13, that's who Jesus is dealing with. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What word? What is Jesus talking about? And I believe he's saying, you have been cleansed because you have been washed in my blood. And right after that, he begins to say, now abide, 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 abide. So if you're a believer today and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, now it's time for you to begin and for me to begin to abide in him. We sang the song a little while ago, Abide With Me, and it's us saying to the Lord, abide with me. I understand why we write it that way and say it that way. God is going to abide with us. He's faithful. He's always faithful. The problem is us. We're the ones that have a hard time abiding. Notice Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3. Hebrews 12, 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This has always been so interesting, this statement he makes. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And here's what I believe Jesus is saying, the writer is saying about Christ. Of course, Jesus is the writer. But, Jesus did resist against blood. I mean, unto blood. They shed his blood. He fought that battle. But he said, ye, you have not yet resisted unto blood. You're striving against sin. And what happens is when we're in this stage where we're having a hard time abiding, where we're having a hard time, and I'm going to go into detail, what does it mean to abide? How do we abide? But suffice it to say this way, as we're not attempting in our lives as believers to get close to our Father, I want to be closer to you, Father. I want to be closer to you. I want to be closer to you. We fall into this category of being withered. We fall into this category. Wait, you think you're going to strive somewhere, persecution's going to come, and you're going to take a stand for Christ and all the way to death and be a martyr? You really think you're going to do that? If you can't even be fruitful as a believer, and you're really kind of in the portion of a withered branch, there's no fruit coming out of your life, you're yet striving against sin in your life. Forget, this further sacrifice. Verse number 5, Hebrews 12, 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Thank the Lord for this. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now there is some separation here, but it's totally different. He's not removing us to remove us forever, but when he chastens us and scourges us, he's removing us just for a time, just a temporary separation, because he wants us to come back to him. He wants us to be so uncomfortable outside of his presence and his blessings and his goodness and his glory and all of that, that he wants us to come back as a father would want his child to come back. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, there's that if, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Think of this house now. Make yourself at home. Well, when a child is at my house and they've made themselves at home to a certain extent, I start scourging and chastening and doing all those types of things. Amen. That's what the Lord does to those who are intimate and who have access with him. Those that are not children, he's not going to chasten you and scourge you. Your own sin will chasten you and scourge you. The way of the transgressor is hard. But that's not the Lord chastening you, just allowing you to have your own way. Furthermore, verse number 9, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Notice this. That we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. I love that word, seemeth. Seemeth. We're going to look down in John chapter 15 about full joy. And when we're abiding in the Lord the way that we ought to abide in Him, one of the byproducts is joy. God gives us joy. But even in this process, the purging process, the chastening process, the scourging process, He says it seems to be grievous. It doesn't seem to be joyous, nevertheless. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable, here it is, fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. There's a relationship there. There's intimacy there. There's access there. And when we're in Him, because we've invited Him in us, then in this first stage, if you will, when we're not abiding the way that we ought to be, there is this withering process that takes place. You think about a withering vine or a withering plant. It may have a little fruit on it, but it's not going to hold on to it very long. It's not going to produce very long. And when we're not abiding the way that we ought to in our Lord, being close to Him the way that we ought to be, we begin to shrivel up and wither, and we're not going to be fruitful very long. A couple other passages and we're done with this first point. We'll be done today with the message. 1 Peter 2:1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, I want to say this to you. If you've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you've been born again, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I've tasted that the Lord is gracious. His desire for us is what? Fruit. How does that happen? It happens through the growth process. No shrinking and withering. By the way, could I say this as gently as I know how? You can be 95 years old and all shriveled up on the outside, and just as beautiful and lively, like a little bitty baby's skin on the inside spiritually. I saw some photos, some pictures through social media of Sister Nadia Shaver, whose body had been racked by cancer. I saw during the funeral service a picture that they had, I think, maybe a post that Brother Mike made to thank everybody. And the picture was just Mike, the man, the husband, with a couple of his kids, I think one in his arms, looking over the body of that 34-year-old lady. And the pictures that I saw and the sight that they saw was a body that had been shriveled up physically. But you know what I believe? I believe especially in these last months, not because she was sick, but because the Lord was at work in her life and she was abiding. She was fresh and lively on the inside. And those of us that were following that journey of hope, we could see that. 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn over there if you would, please. We'll close this morning. 2 Peter 3. Are you withering this morning as a Christian? That doesn't mean you're in danger of losing your salvation. Hear me. If you've been born again, you receive Christ as your Savior, and you're withering, it just may mean you need to abide. Just get closer to the Lord. And He gives us the remedy for how to do that. It's actually very simple. Most of us are holding it in our hands this morning. I'm going to show it to you. It's right here in the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Does that mean you won't be without physical spot? Oh no, this life tends to beat up these bodies that are temporary, spiritually speaking. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Not fall from salvation, fall from steadfastness. But, here's the remedy, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Without me, ye can do nothing. But when I am in you, you can grow in grace and in knowledge. And what will happen in that process is you will abide further and further, and you will be fruitful. Fruitful. Do you desire fruit this morning? How much abiding are you doing? How much abiding am I doing? And am I in a withered state? We're going to talk about a couple other states. This progresses. It gets better as the sermon goes on. And we'll look at that next time. Let's pray together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word. Lord, we're thankful for the assurance of our salvation based on the scriptures. And it's not a physical washing that we're looking for to save us. It wasn't a physical washing in John 13. It's not a physical washing concerning water baptism. Lord, you manifest yourself to us, but not unto the world, because you do it within us. And we're thankful for that. I pray this morning, Lord, maybe there's somebody here that is not. They do not have you abiding in them, let alone them abiding in you. They've never been born again. I pray you'll let them know about that. You'll make it very clear, very evident. And they would be willing to receive your sacrifice on their behalf. Lord, I think about Christian people this morning, and we all could stand to abide more and better. Lord, maybe there's somebody here this morning that's really in a withered state. They might even look good on the outside, but they're withering on the inside. Father, help us, please, to get back to growing in you, in your grace, in your knowledge. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask this question. Are you born again? Are you born again? Is he abiding in you? Has there been a time where you have received his sacrifice on your behalf? Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure about that, but I'm concerned about that. Please pray for me. Could I pray for you this morning? Just lift your hand up, right back down, and I'll pray for you. I don't know that I've been born again, but I'm concerned about it today. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Let me ask this question. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, the Lord's speaking to your heart about growing, about being abundant, fruitful. Maybe there's somebody here, you know in your heart, I'm withered right now. I'm withering. God helping me, I want to abide. I want to get closer to him so that I can be fruitful. Friend, without abiding in him, we can't do anything. We can do stuff that looks spiritual and good and religious. It means nothing without him. You'd say, I'm a Christian, but God has spoken to my heart this morning. God has spoken to my heart all over the building. Let's pray together. We'll have a time of invitation. Father, bless now this time of invitation. Please speak to our hearts. Continue, Lord, to make these things clear to us. And may we desire what you desire, to be fruitful in 2021. Help us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Would you stand?